on this episode of Still Loading 2019 in Review. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of Still Loading, the final episode of 2019. I am your host, Josh Koval, and with me today to celebrate this great year in review, it is my good old buddy, my friend from Canada, the Great White North, TJ. TJ, how are you doing today, sir?
I am doing fantastic, man. How are you?
I am tired, and it is late when we are recording, but it is a good day. We are recording our final episode of 2019. I think this is your final one as well, too, right?
It is. I haven't – actually, it's funny. As we record this, it is late. So, I mean, and I do appreciate, by the way, real quick, you kind of soldiering it out a bit with me to do this because I was really excited, and this is the only night, unfortunately, we could have make it work over the holiday period. So I do appreciate you slugging it out with me. But it's funny because we decided we were going to do this. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, you know what? I'm not going to have an episode the week leading up. Like, I'm not going to have any, like, end of the year stuff or anything. And I kind of sort of may or may not have forgot to let everybody know that was happening. So.
Yeah, it's social media. We were talking about it off mic or whatever, but it's not always the most fun to keep up with, not because of anyone in particular or interact. I really like interacting with people on social media, but it's just the constant pressure to feel like you need to post something. Like, if I don't post something 3 or 4 times a week, I feel like I'm not building my podcast, and it's kind of frustrating to feel that need to do that.
It's really interesting on that note, because for me, like, I used to kind of feel the same way, and now it's like, hey, you know what? I'm posting 3 or 4 times a week. No one cares, you know. Obviously, I'm joking, but, like, I noticed that when I post slightly less, like, if I do a post a day, for example, or if I do, like, I, on my personal account, that'd be TJ Hodder, H-O-D-D-E-R, I was doing a campaign in November, and I'm sure we'll talk about all this in the year review or whatever.
Yeah, because we both have had big years for the show, for our respective podcasts. Oh, yes, sorry, you are from The Hodder Show. In case for those who are not aware, TJ, the founder of the Podbeard Network that I'm a part of, is also the host of the flagship show, The Hodder Show. I feel like people should know that. Well, you know what? New listeners may not know that. So if this is your first time listening to Still Loading, first off, welcome. I'm surprised you're listening to a year in review, but either way, thank you for downloading.
I want to see what you're up to this year.
Yeah, I guess so. And there will be announcements for plans coming up this year, which will be fun, but yeah, sorry. I totally cut you off, and I forget what you were saying.
That is okay. Usually I'm the one cutting people off. So, but basically all I was going to say was it's funny talking about social media and posting a lot, because I did something in November with a great company called The Cure Starts Now, and then also Mean Beard, who is it's a beard company I do some work with and love. Meanbeardco.com.
You love beards.
Damn right. But we were doing something called Bearded Up, which was a campaign basically to raise awareness for pediatric cancer. So the whole idea, it's a very simple concept. It's basically the November concept of No Shave November, but it's taking it kind of a step further. And it's, you know, not only are you going to – like, hey, you're growing a mustache, you're growing facial hair. That's awesome to raise awareness, right on. But instead of doing it for basically – generally it's for like prostate cancer or – male related cancers or male mental health or what have you, which is very important. Do not get me wrong, but we kind of decided, like, let's team up with Cure Starts Now and we're going to raise money, you know, for pediatric cancer. And as opposed to just raising money, it was also getting people involved who already have beards. And hey, you know, you make a donation, you get a t-shirt, and it's all about just all over social media the whole month, and even still, it was everywhere. Every time I opened my phone, I saw Cure Starts Now, This Beard Fights Cancer t-shirts, and it was something really cool. But what I did, I pledged that I would upload a picture of myself every day for the whole month on my story. And I was like, oh, that's not a big deal. You know, that'll be that's really a lot easy. To do. Holy shit. It was.
You don't realize it. It's just, it's not even that it's necessarily difficult, but it's just, it's surprisingly, you know, you, and I know you, you work a lot, like you work long hours at your job and you work like crazy shifts. So to do something, to even set aside time to dedicate to something as simple as just taking a picture, you're just like, man, I'm fucking tired. I just want to go to bed.
Bro, what's really funny is if you start it, – it's in my – if you go on my Instagram – this is just for fun, for a joke. But if you go on my Instagram, again, it's TJ Hodder, H-O-D-D-E-R, and you go on and there's – I have like the highlight. If you go click on that and look at the first picture to the last one, it was a long month. You can like – it's just funny because you can see like I start off like kind of bright-eyed and ready to face the month, and then at the end of the month it's like – damn, what happened to this guy? Holy crap.
Your smile progressively – I'm looking at it now. Your smile progressively just gets less smiley. Yeah,
it was not fun at all. And then there was like a couple in there. I missed a couple days too where like I thought I uploaded stuff, but I didn't. So I failed at my task, by the way. The point is we did end up raising money. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it was – everyone was very, very happy. I ended up achieving my personal goal, so I was very happy about that. It was the last hour of the campaign. I beat my goal, so I was very happy about that. But it's just funny, man. Like I was like, oh, it's only taking a picture every day. That'll be easy. But it's not just taking the picture. It's do I want to upload this picture? And wait, I'm wearing the same shirt I was wearing yesterday.
And it's well, also wait, what am I saying in the caption?
Well, what was easy about that was I just had the same thing.
Oh, okay.
It was like beat it up campaign, follow the link to raise money and so on. So whatever the hell I said, I don't even remember anymore. But yeah, it's just funny that you mentioned that, man. Like just having to do it every day, it was like holy crap. It's a chore. It really can be a chore.
It makes sense why they hire social media managers for big companies now.
Oh, yeah.
And even not even that, it's the social media managers act as a filter for all the vitriol that people have to deal with. I'm thankful that I don't know about your show, but at least my show is small enough still that I don't have to deal with it. Literally the only thing I've ever had to deal with, and I'm putting that super mildly because I'm actually super thankful for it. I got good very good, solid constructive criticism in a review. They gave me 4 out of 5 stars because they said I was too self-deprecating and That's not 100% untrue. I was always very hard on myself on my show, and I realized, you know, even if I am that way, kind of still, I just don't need to put it on the mic.
Take her back a bit.
Exactly.
There's nothing that sucks more than, especially if you're a fan of something. Like, that was something I was never, like, anytime I would hear you be hard on yourself, like, man, no, like, you're Josh, you're the fucking man. Like, I don't want to hear you, you know. It's one thing if you're doing it as a kind of a like a gag, you know, because I've had people say that to me as well. Like they're like, why are you so hard on yourself? Why are you calling yourself fat and things like that? I'm like, hey, it's a work. Like it's all good. We're all friends here. We're just joking around. But if you're being, you know, serious and you're saying, oh, like, you know, not that you would necessarily say like, oh, you know, I think my show is doing really shitty and blah, 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 blah. Like, you know what I'm saying like that. But if you were, it'd be like, I don't want to hear this. Like, come on.
No,
you're
supposed
to take me away from this kind of stuff.
Exactly. And to be clear, like when I was, I like who I am. It's not even like a depressive or a depressed type of thing. It was just, it's a defense mechanism where if I can be critical of myself first, I beat all the trolls to the punch type of thing.
Yeah, I get you.
And it's one of those things where that's why I do that. But we're not here though. But let's move on because we're not here to talk about our break down our personal psychology.
They're gonna sit there. What the hell are these guys talking about?
I know this got deep only 10 minutes into recording. Not even.
This is what happens, man. This is what happens.
I know, right? So we are recording this. I wanted to first say, like, it was no big deal working around this arrangement. You were super nice thanking me for it. But realistically, we talked about this before. Like, you have to wake up at the ass crack of dawn for your job, and I don't. So it kind of worked out in for both of us in this instance.
What exactly, right, was, real quick, is the ass crack of dawn? I have to interrupt you. What do you consider the ass crack of dawn? Because that's a term I've heard, the crack of dawn, but never the ass crack of dawn.
Well, I'm putting it somewhere in between the hairline around the waist and the sphincter. that's my guess.
So that's like what, 4 a.m. to like 6 a.m.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say like 4 to 5 a.m. I think 6 a.m. is stupid early, but I would say like ass crack of dawn is like 4 to 5 a.m. That's what I say.
Yeah, see, that's like, that's
listeners, what I write in. What is your personal ass crack of dawn?
Let us know. What is your personal ass crack of dawn? It's gonna be a t-shirt next week. Don't worry.
know, right. but no. We are recording this the day after Christmas, which, as you said off mic, is Boxing Day for you guys up in Canada. And as a dumb American, what the hell is Boxing Day? We don't celebrate it, so we have no idea what it is. I still don't know what it is.
I was about to say, what the hell do you guys call it?
We don't call it. We call it the day after Christmas.
We call it the day after Christmas. Well, because y'all have that. I just said y'all. What the hell? You guys have that.
Straight Canadian to straight Southern in less than a second.
Y'all have that there where, you know, there. How come I can't do a Southern voice right now? Always do a Southern voice.
It's fine.
I gotta pull it out now. Hang on. I can't do it now. I can't. I'm sorry, guys. I'm shitting the bed right now. I do it all the time at work and everyone thinks it's hilarious and now I can't do it for some reason. Put me on the spot. No, but basically, for those of you who are not aware, Boxing Day here in Canada. Canada, in the great province of Ontario, Ontario, basically, in a nutshell, it is the day that all the stores want to get rid of all their shit, so they mark it down really low. It's basically Black Friday, but like Boxing Day after Christmas. Less violence, but still violence.
There's still, because even in the States, that we don't call it that, but the day after Christmas is now almost bigger than Black Friday just because everyone has gift cards now. So everyone's, you know, redeeming their gift cards and whatnot.
That's kind of how it started. It was like, okay, Oh, let's go to the store. And stores were like, wait a minute. We can capitalize on this.
Capitalism. but no, so, all right, we started the episode with, some psychology and we continued on. We got a lesson. We now all know what Boxing Day is. So let's get to the meat and potatoes of the episode. I don't know why I decided to use that expression today, but let's get to the crux of the episode. So we're reviewing our respective podcasts, year, like the full year, and not going into an crazy amount of detail, but for both of us, like we said, this has been a really big year for both of our shows respectively, and I thought it'd be kind of fun to kind of, you know, do this crossover episode together and just reflect on what great, I don't know, just it was I'm really happy with everything that came this year, at least for my show, and from what I saw with yours, with everything kind of getting involved with Chinlock Wrestling and also all the Mean Beard stuff that you've been doing since, like, I think that started late last year, right?
Yeah, it started last year, but like that was when I actually had the managing partner from Mean Beard on the show, and that's what kind of started this whole, you know, fun kind of I guess relationship up now with them. It's more me personally than it is the show per se that is kind of involved with it. Like TJ Hodder, the person, is a brand ambassador for Mean Beard. Not so much the Hodder show, but then by default, obviously, you know, the Hodder show is involved because that's me. But it's interesting because it's been a really interesting year overall. And my year basically went from, as far as the show anyway, it started off kind of on a down note, and like I didn't really talk about it, but this is an exclusive here for
Slow Loading
and / the Hodder Show, I guess, because it's a crossover episode. So you guys, if you're listening to the Hodder Show, you're hearing this, but as well. But I had serious considerations earlier this year to stop doing the show.
Really?
Or at least like slow way down. Cause it was, just life was getting stressful in real life. And, you know, I'm just like, man, like basically just I was having one of those, and I talked about this off air with you, but like things come in peaks and valleys in the content creator world. And if you're listening to this and you're a content creator, I know you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes the show's doing really well and everything's up, and then, oh, it drops off. And that's perfectly okay. That's all a part of it. It's like anything creative. Mm-hmm. You're going to have downtime. You're going to have – you almost need – it's like a good roller coaster. So when you're, you know, at the high of it, it makes it almost like that much sweeter. But that being said, you know, the year kind of started off like I had a good, like, you know, 2018 was a good year for me as opposed mm-hmm. since the sense of like meeting people and building relationships more with people and stuff. But like, you know, as far as like listenership and downloads, it kind of like it was better than the year before. But it wasn't like a huge jump. So
okay.
It was like, okay, like, let's – and then just, you know, Christmas time was kind of hot garbage as it always is with listens and downloads and stuff. And that's pretty normal for like the indie podcast scene. Everyone kind of knows that's coming. But I was just – I don't know. I was really discouraged, and actually I credit – my dear friend, Mr. Jason Reese from Jaybird Digital Arts, for kind of sort of just saying, dude, the hell is wrong with you? Come on. Like, snap out of it. So, yeah, that was kind of how the year started. And then now it's ended off. I've had not only like leaps and bounds above my best year I've ever had on the show, but the last for about 4 to 5 months, I've had the best time period in the show I've ever had ever.
Dude, like,
by tenfold. And that's what's so cool about us doing this, because, you know, I've had a very good year for the show and I know you have too. And I'm kind of eager to hear like what was your story with this year with that?
Well, I first kind of, I guess to lead off with that, I just want to thank everyone who's listening to this right now, because literally without you guys, we wouldn't be doing this episode. I guess this episode is kind of weird because we're kind of giving ourselves a congratulatory pat on the back.
Well,
I flubbed that word a little bit. But like, seriously, like the listeners, at least for my show, like I looked at my totals from all of 2018, and as we're recording this, it's the 26th of December, right? So we still got, you know, 4 or 5 more days left of the year. And all of 2018, I had a grand total of 2,296 downloads total between every episode, between everything on the show, right? Mm-hmm. This year, with still 5 days in hand, I'm up to 5,167.
Wow.
That's over double, and it's all thanks to everyone listening here. Like that big growth this past year just it, like, because you're all listening to this, and I don't know how many of you there are out there, but it honestly means the world to me that you're giving this giving my show, and it's same with TJ's, like giving our shows a chance, because it just, I don't know, like seeing that, it's validation for me. I've doubled my downloads in a year, and I only put out episodes every other week, so it's not like I am using the weekly episodes as usually weekly episodes, when I do that, I get a lot of downloads that month because I'm getting my normal influx of, you know, however my average amount of downloads for a new episode to start. But the fact that I've had double growth, and I actually have done less weekly content this year than I did in 2018. I think I ended 2018 with an episode every week in December, and this year I'm not doing that. I just did, I did have a really busy summer, and I think a lot of it has to do with all the great composers I got to interview, between Andrew Prallo and Chad Sider and Austin Wintory and Nanita Desai and all those composers from different indie games and different AAA games. And this has been my favorite year of the podcast so far. Like, I've had so much fun doing this, and I'm literally at a loss for words of how much I'm just happy with everything that's happened this year.
Well, hell yeah, man. And I mean, like you were saying, I think that from the standpoint of your buddy, seeing you, you know, doing well, and I'm watching going, okay. He's picking up a little steam here. And man, having those composers on I think from the standpoint of, you know, the fact that there were people messaging me saying, yo, like this Josh guy, like he's a great interviewer. He had this composure. Oh, that's really cool. Like no people who know the composure.
Don't say that.
Hey, I'm not lying. Hey, the guy.
People actually message you?
Yes. Didn't I tell you this?
No, you didn't.
Oh, well, shit. Okay. Yeah, no, people exclusive. Actually, I mean, what one of them was Brandon, who is, you know, the old producer of the Hotter Show.
But still,
he's a listener, and he messaged me, and he was like, yo, like, that's a big deal. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And furthermore, yo, Josh is actually really good with his interviews. I'm like, yeah. So it was almost like for me, because I do, like, you know, my show is built on basically interviews. That's, you know, as much as I do like music reviews and things of that nature, and I'll get into that in a little bit because I want to kind of focus on you right now, but I know how hard it is to interview people, especially people that, like, you're kind of nervous in a way to interview because it's not like someone you know. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of people you've had on your show, like, you know who they are, you're friends with them, or whereas having those composers on, that was a big deal. And it was so awesome to see that not only did you knock it out of the park, and that's me personally saying this, and, you know, I'd be honest. If I was like, man, kind of sucked, I would say, hey, man, that kind of – I would word like that, obviously. But, like, yeah. I mean, I might. You know, if I just call you up, dude, that sucked. Don't do that again. But
I'd be so confused. I'm like, what? What'd I do?
Why are you talking to me?
Like this? What?
And why do you have a Boston accent? well, that was the shit.
You and your accents, man.
I don't know.
Like...
Sorry. As I get more tired, I just speak in different accents, apparently.
Oh, but, I really hope your fiance is looking forward to a lifetime of this, of just whenever you get loopy, you just like, all right, what is it going to be today?
I do it all the time, and I have dumb voices I do that I steal from other stuff that I can't say on a podcast because someone who might know it would be like, oh, he's stealing that, so I can't do it. But I don't really remember the point I was making, but all I'm going to finish off by saying is that, you know, again – I think that was kind of a turning point for you, man, where it was
100%.
Like, it kind of, not like your show wasn't already serious and was being taken seriously, but when you have a moment like that where it's like, oh, like, hey, I know who that person is, or like, hey, this is, it's almost like it brings a certain level of credibility, if you kind of know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Sorry, finish what you're saying.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, and I think that does have something to do with it, with your, you know, your growth this year. But then also those people went back and went, oh, like, this guy doesn't do interviews all the time, but like, he's got all this other killer content. And, you know, they find what a entertaining, charming host you are. And they're just like, man, I love this guy. And the next thing you know, they're tuning in every week.
Man, I'm bad at taking compliments. That made me really embarrassed. But anyway, what I was going to say was this kind of goes for everyone who's listening to, like, if you ever want to do something, just seriously, it never hurts to ask in a weird sense. So the way that all these composers even came about, and seriously, like, if any of them are listening to this now, like, you have no idea how much all of your interviews meant to me. But it all started with I emailed Austin Wintory from his personal website, and I just said, hey, I have a very small video game podcast. I would love if you would come on Journey's one, his soundtrack for Journey. It's one of my favorite games of all time. I would love if you came on and just interview you about the game. And that was in February earlier this year, and I didn't hear anything back from him until I want to say late May.
Yeah.
And he got me in touch with his PR company. And from that PR company, I have a contact now with its PR company. And before I even had the interview with Austin, they started just sending me interviews. They started sending me like, hey, would you be interested in interviewing this person? And the first one they sent me was actually Andrew Prallo, because he had a game called Outer Wilds coming out, which by the way, I think is my personal game of the year if that came out in 2019, but we'll get to games later since this is a video game.
At least
it is a crossover, so there is going to be video games involved. It's 50%
gaming podcast, 50% random bullshit podcast.
But so from there, I got all these other interviews out of it, and I got Chad Sider, I got Nanita Desai, and it was just such a crazy thing to happen. I couldn't believe it when it was happening. So it was just such a whirlwind. It was just great. And then on top of that, I did that live show at Classic Game Junkie, the outdoor show, which I've never done before, which
that was
really
cool.
Fun.
That was really fun, by the way. I don't think I even sent this to you. That was really fun hearing you kind of do the live thing, because I know how hard doing it live is as well, because I've done it before.
It works a very different muscle than recording just by yourself in a room. Like, very, very different. But I was pleasantly surprised, because everyone who decided to, like, come in and talk on the mic. The first guy who came up, Jordan Welsh, he runs like his own little gaming network, which is called Trueborn Gaming. Let me just make sure I'm not butchering that. It is Trueborn, but I'm bad with names. But he was super nice, and I've been meaning to do the Trueborn Gaming Network. And I've been meaning to get him onto the show for a little bit. It's just, I just haven't had the time to just yet. But I don't know. It's been a great year, and I'm very thankful for everything. And I know I've been thanking you listeners so much and so far in this episode, but it seriously, it means the world to me. And I guess, like, when you do a year in review, I guess you kind of are giving yourself you kind of are blowing yourself a little bit.
Well, I mean,
Same time, it just, like, it's not just, I, part of it isn't just for me. It's also, I want the listeners to kind of see behind the scenes a little bit and see, like, this is what you're helping me do. And even though, like, even those who aren't giving to the Patreon, like, just by downloading, you're affording me the ability to do this.
Absolutely. Cause if no one listened, there'd be no point. It's, exactly. I always say kind of to that point, like, you know, even if no one listened, I'd still do the podcast, but no one actually listened.
You would do it for a little while, and then you would be like, all right, it's like, it's not moving the needle for me, because you're not getting that positive reinforcement back.
I mean,
it took me 5 years to get to the podcast to where it is now, which is still a small podcast. And I like the community that's been being built through this bit by bit and listener by listener.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat in this, except for the fact that, you know, my first year I did two episodes every week, because I'm insane.
Did that. I don't know why you do that.
I don't know either. It was the stupidest thing I've ever done. It was horrible. I have no idea why anyone listened during those first 100 episodes. There's some gold in there, but majority of it's kind of crap.
It's the learning curve. Every podcaster goes through it. That 40 for 40 series I was doing, I think I've said it before on the show, but that taught me how to podcast, even though I did that, like, what, 30, 40 episodes in is when I started that series, and it lasted almost 2 years, or lasted like a year and a half. But that taught me how to podcast. So, like, what you're saying, those first couple, that first year of the show, as much as it was painful for you, by doing it two episodes a week, you forced yourself to learn a new skill. You started muscle memory that you didn't know you had.
And, you know, doing interviews with people who – and I say this with all the love in the world, but if we're being honest, people who probably shouldn't have been being interviewed, just who either didn't really want to do it, or who just – I had to kind of really – hey, so that one, you know, word answer you just gave me, let's elaborate on that. You know, like, that more than anything was what I kind of learned the first, I'd say even 150 episodes. I really learned that, and I learned, like, you know, hey, what do I do in certain situations? And trying not to take things quite so seriously all the time. There's a time and place. But for the most part, like I say to people, like to your point, I didn't really get comfortable with podcasting 100% till I was like at least, I'd say 120, 130 episodes in.
It takes a long time to get used to it.
It does. And then you put in the work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say, before you would record, did you ever just have conversations with the people? Cause what I try to do, even with all my, with my composer interviews, I would try to have, especially with them, I wouldn't want to take up too much of their time because they are in the business. They have a very tight schedule. So I didn't want to take up a lot of their time, but at the same point, by the same token, I just didn't want to go in cold to the show or cold into the episode. Sure. So even when I first started that, I would talk to them for 10, 15 minutes, just kind of letting them know the type of person that I am, the type of personality I am. So that way they have an idea of how to interact with me. And vice versa, I'm learning about them from how they're interacting to what I'm talking to them. And how, like, the first episode we ever recorded together, like, we would, you know, message back and forth periodically. But the first episode I ever did on – well, the only episode so far until now that I did on your show, I let off that whole episode with that dream that I had.
Yes, that's that? Right. That's right. And yes, yes.
That type of thing, like, you want to make – your guest as comfortable as possible. And even if it's not a composer, even if it's just a friend, even when I've had friends on to do episodes, I will put the mics up but not hit record and just talk. Yeah. Just so they can get comfortable talking in front of a mic.
I had one interview I did where the young man I had on – listen to me, young man. Jesus Christ. the young lad I had on the show, he was a very shy kid. And – it was about, I'd say, 45 minutes to an hour of us talking off mic before I kind of started getting things out of him, as to the point where I was, okay, now I can press record and do this. Because if I had just pressed record after a few minutes, it would have been just horrible. And that's the kind of skills that at this point I've learned, but also I've built, you know, rapport with people. I spoke earlier about Joe Loving is the man's name from Mean Beard, one of the best dudes out there. And talking with him before doing the show, we had more fun before and after than we did actually doing the podcast. And that's a detriment to me because it was a great interview because there was a lot that we learned, but it was, you know, me asking a question, him answering. That's all it was. There was no – I was very to a script on that episode.
Was that because you had to be – not saying that's a bad thing because I understand sometimes when you interview people with companies, they have to be very mindful of what they say and how they phrase things and stuff like that.
Yeah. To a point, like we discussed everything beforehand.
Okay.
But we found out that, like, hey, man, we have chemistry just shooting the shit. And, you know, I've had Joe on the show a couple times since then, and it's always a blast because that's just what we do. And, you know, I know the next time I have him on the show, we've already talked about it. We're just going to kind of bullshit and just hang out and, you know, we'll hit a couple points we got to talk about, but that's what's so important about it. You know, it's just you learn so much about the person. I'm at the point now where I'll know within a minute or two of talking to someone if they could do a podcast or not.
Yeah.
Like it's bad because I'm like, say that again. Tell me that story again. Hey, let me set the mics real quick. Like I know what I'll hear it in my head. Well, okay, this person has that, you know, that not necessarily skill, but that bone in their body that they're a good storyteller. Mm-hmm. And I've said it before to people. I'm like, hey, you should do a podcast. It's like, really? I'm like, yeah. And not everyone has it, but it's.
Well, I've told people it's. I mean, it's weird because part of it is like, why am I promoting competition for my show?
But, yeah. I welcome it.
But yeah, because it competition breeds creativity, and if you weren't, and hell, even like the shows on our network here, technically we're competing with each other, even though we're not.
All three of them.
Yeah, all three. But
but yes, even, no, I get what you're saying.
But even with that, it's never like it's more like I never think of it as competing, but at the same time, you technically are. But it even in podcast space, like I never think of another podcast, even another gaming podcast like mine, as a competition, and not in like a shitty way or anything like that. It's just they're doing their thing, I'm doing my thing.
Don't
if I get listeners, awesome. No,
you're sitting there like, be gone, peasant.
No, not with my small show. Be gone, peasant.
Be gone, peasant. Bring me my Jesta.
I feel like that's something Kaz would do. From R.I.P. Two Guys in a Game.
Yes. It was a podcast that I used to do with a buddy of mine.
For those who don't know, the way TJ and I actually met is through that show, kind of. You messaged me through Twitter because we were both doing gaming podcasts. I still am in. And
I no longer am.
But then, you know, so we got to know each other through that and just kind of hit it off. And now it's, I don't even know how, it's like been 2 years, which is just fucking weird to think. Because I feel like
it's been 2 years. I feel like it's been longer.
It feels like it's been less to me. Like, really? I doesn't feel like it's been 2 years. I don't know. Just time goes by so freaking fast now. Maybe it's just because I'm 30, which isn't old, but it feels old.
Yeah, you're an old man.
I know, right? At least in internet years. Dude, I remember there was like a tweet storm. This is a complete non sequitur, but there was like a huge tweet storm like a couple months ago about this teenage girl who sent a tweet out and said, why does anyone over the age of like 24 use Twitter? And it was just everyone was, what's wrong with you? And of course, her response was pretty much, it wasn't a meme yet, but her response is pretty much, okay, boomer. And in so many words, okay, boomer wasn't a meme yet when this all happened, it was just, it's pretty much what it was. It was just such a surreal thing. And I'm thinking, girl, do you fucking know, like, this has been around probably since before you were born. She wasn't that young, but it was, she would have been alive when Twitter came out, but it was so surreal. So when I see stuff like that, I'm like, and I'm 30 and I've been online I've only been online for really like 15 years, and that's nothing compared to other people. So it's just, it's kind of funny to see how fast the internet changes.
I literally removed Twitter from my phone like a year and a half ago. I just got sick of it.
Really? I wonder why you stopped doing all those follow Fridays.
Yeah, dude. I can't stand Twitter, especially being a podcaster. And I'm going to kind of shit on it a little bit. But I'm super grateful for it because, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have met you. And I wouldn't have met Brian and James. Of course, Geeks Aloud. And I wouldn't have met some old friends of mine called Fork Found Movie Reviews.
Drinks with Larry, right?
Yes, or Drinks with Larry. Shout out to them. I haven't talked to them in a fucking minute, but good people, great show over there. And then also there's a couple other peeps that I've met through there that like, I still have communications with. So like that's awesome. But it got to a point where it was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. Like it's not getting anywhere. When I hit over 1,000 followers on Twitter, I was like, yo, this is cool. And then I realized, no, it's not, because none of them give a shit about the content I'm putting up. So
Also why I don't know. I don't have a lot of followers on Twitter, but the ones that I do, I actually think really follow what I do. It's weird. It's like everyone that does follow my stuff on social media, for the most part, there are some every now and then, at least on my personal Twitter account, I get followed by porn bots all the time. It's very strange. All of them are you? All of those?
They're all me. It's all I do now.
I was wondering
why I didn't delete Twitter.
I was wondering where those dick pics came from.
Yeah, it's all me. Different angles.
Never mind. That's a joke I can't say on mic. Twitter's been like really good for the growth of the show. But what I wanted to move on to next is what was your personal favorite episode of your podcast this year? Man. Do you have one? I have one for me. If you want me to just say mine, so that way you can think of yours. I don't know if you have one. Like just
I have a
reaction.
I have a bunch, but
I have my I know what my favorite one of yours is.
You pull yours out because I'm curious. I'm curious what yours is.
Well, I'm not going to pull mine out because that's just rude. But
well, why not?
Well, I don't want to go to jail, TJ.
Why would you go to jail? It's a podcast. I can't see it. Oh, I can't see it. God damn.
No, but my favorite episode of yours, at least, is I really love the episode. It's a more recent one, admittedly, but I loved your episode with James from the No Geeks Allowed podcast.
Yeah, that was so much damn fun, man. Oh, my God. There was like a good 20 minutes of that, too, that didn't make air.
Oh, my God. That's the best part about it. Dude, when I go to record with them for our crossover episode, since, you know, they live close by to me, we spend 2 hours before the mics start recording. And I love it, but at the same time, it's almost always on a weeknight, which means we're not recording till like 10 p.m. And then I'm recording till midnight, and I have to drive an hour home. And then I get home at like 1 a.m., but it's so fun. It is so fun. As much as I hate losing the sleep that night, it is like – it's such a good time each time.
If there's one thing I've learned this year, and this is kind of a broad statement for the whole year for me, sleep is our enemy. Okay, because
I've embraced it personally, but
there
okay.
is nothing I hate more than when I'm trying to get shit done and I physically have to sleep or else I'm going to die. I hate it. I'm not a fan because I've proven more than once that I can record a podcast after being awake for more than 24 hours straight because I've done it before.
My first question with that is, what, who are you, who do you need to prove that to? Because
just TJ.
You can tell yourself you're dumb. So, no, I'm just kidding.
No, well, it's funny. No, I know. It's funny because like the way that life is right now for me, the only time I can really record podcasts is at this time of night. So, even if I have to get up at the ass crack of dawn at 4 a.m. in the morning.
Yes.
Callbacks. I have to just do it. If I want to do this and I want to prove that when I made my comeback, because I took a little hiatus this year, I felt really cocky about it because I did an episode and I called it Don't Call It a Comeback. And I did this, it was a complete fucking gag and everyone thought I was being serious and it was really funny. But I did this gag where I was performing, quote unquote, Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J in the first
seconds of it. Dude, I loved it. I was laughing so hard.
And that's good because that was the point. But at the same time, I was like, I'm watching all these podcasters out there and podcasts pop up and disappear and pop up and guys going on about, oh, how come no one listens to my show? I release content once every 4 months. and people, oh, you know, like just – I had this like, hey, you know what? I've been doing this for 3 years. I've put hours and hours and hours and days and sleepless nights and so much work into it. And, you know, that was the first time I'd taken more than a week off at a time. And I was like, you know what? Like – I'm, you know, there's not a lot of people out there that do what I do. So I had this weird, like, confidence. And it was just really funny because I dropped that episode and people were like, you know, oh, well, you think you could rap now? When they go, what is this? You think you're a big shot? Like, oh, come on, man. Like, your show doesn't even do that many downloads. And I'm like,
here's a joke. Really give you shit about that?
Yes. A
what
lot
the
of
fuck,
people.
Man? Like, I don't funny. Get it. That's insane to me because it was, I guess,
it was
I don't
a joke.
Know, it was also, that actually legitimately makes me a little mad because I thought it was legitimately hilarious. I don't know how you wouldn't think of anything else. It was anything else other than a joke. Like, if you did another episode if you did multiple episodes, then I could understand the influx of hate coming in.
I'm getting a call from you like, dude, are you okay? Like, what's going on?
What happened?
Why are you rapping? What's going on? But it was just – it was funny because – and I just laughed it all off because, you know, there was someone who I messaged them basically saying like, hey, check out my episode, you know? And they were just like, hey, I think I'm better than you at this. And I was like, okay, once you're podcasting for more than a couple months, we'll talk. And now their show no longer exists. So, you know, that's how that goes. But
do you actually message other shows and ask them to listen to it?
Only people I know.
Okay.
Because I wanted to get feedback. But it was all a ploy for me just to get them to listen to that rap because I thought it was that funny. When I thought of that idea, I literally called Brandon and I was like, what if I rapped Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J in its entirety? And that's the episode. And he was like, that's going to be the shit. You can't pull it off. No, he didn't say that. He was like, do it. So, I messaged Jason immediately and was like, what if? And he was like, please do it. And I didn't do the whole thing, but I did like the first verse in the chorus. But I have no idea where I was going with this and how I got on this tangent.
No, it's all good. Well, there's a to get a little I love that mentality though, that like, let's just fucking do it. Who cares? Because Kevin Smith, for those who listened to the show for a while, I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan. For those who haven't, I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan. So there you go. but he, regardless, not a lot of people, you know, a lot of his stuff is very hit or miss. So there's a lot of people who love him and a lot of people who hate him. There's not a lot of in between. It's very, I just blanked on the word that I was going to use, but polarizing, that's the word. He can be very polarizing. But one thing that I really like that he says, and I think it's kind of universal, is that you need to for any creative endeavor, surround yourself with the why not people. Not because there's always going to be people who say, why would you do this? Why would you want to do something like that? Who cares? That type of thing. But you also don't want to surround yourself with the yes people, because then you'll get people, because then you'll have an idea that could be awful. Maybe like, I'm going to record a 10-hour episode in a row and see what happens and upload the whole thing unedited.
Yo, let's do it.
no. and Comedy Bang Bang already beat us to it. So, I don't know if it was in a row, but it was a 10-hour episode and it was beautiful. All 10 hours of it. I'm a huge Comedy Bang Bang fan as well. But anyway, but he said, you want to surround yourself with the why not people, the people where you'll pitch an idea and go, yeah, sure. Why not? Let's see what happens. And the idea is just to push whimsy, as he calls it, just keep pushing that idea to the furthest extent you can possibly go and see where it takes you. Cause it's like I said, it's kind of how this whole thing with Austin Wintory and all those composers started. I just said, I had an idea. I'm going to message this guy. And if you want to go back even further than that, it was my first interview with someone kind of outside my group of friends or outside of like my acquaintances online, like you and and Kaz, even though I've never really even spoken to Kaz all that much, ever.
You ain't missed so much. No, I was joking. That was it.
But
love you, buddy.
What was it? It was just you. It started all back with Game Dave last summer, and I was lucky enough to get to interview him, and he's a YouTuber who does a lot of retro game stuff, and he has like such high production quality. He's just such a good content creator. And it was so awesome to get to know him because I met him at a con and I told him about the podcast and he gave me his email. And I wouldn't say we necessarily like hit it off. Like I really enjoyed talking to him, but I also don't want to be that person that keeps on messaging him and be like, hey, hey, cause, I feel weird doing that, but I would love to do more with Game Dave because he's such a nice guy. And that there gave me the confidence to reach out to other people. That's how I got the interview with Robot Prince, the chiptune musician from Japan, who I'm friends with him on Facebook now, I think. No, just on Instagram. But either way, he's a super nice guy, and it's been really cool to see where it goes. So that idea of surrounding yourself with why not people, and my wife's been a big supporter of that, where I said, I'll have an idea, and she'll go, yeah, sure, go for it. And even if she doesn't quite understand it, because she's not into video games like I am or nearly as much, she's still super supportive and goes, yeah, sure, go for it. Why not? That'll be fun. And I very much subscribe to that belief that you should surround yourself with why not people. Like, it helps so much with any creative endeavor.
Damn right. And it's funny because you asked me earlier, and I've had some time to think about it, my favorite episode, and it kind of actually touches on that point because I mentioned him, and he's someone I always thank a ton for stuff, because just without this man, there would be no Harder Show at this point, like for sure, 100%. And I would not be where I'm at, having, you know, had my biggest year and things of that nature. But with Jason, who is, again, Jaybird Digital Arts, if you need any logos or anything like that, he is the
sponsor.
Man. Yes, that's my man right there. But I was doing an episode, and I do these quote-unquote music reviews where literally the band messages me or I message them and I say, hey, I want to play your new album for my listeners or your new EP or whatever. And I tell you a little bit about the band. I play a song. I talk about it. I play a song. I talk about it. Very simple process. But I was recording this this one particular episode, and I talked about this with the guys off air when I did speak to the guys in the band, but I didn't talk about this on the show. So again, kind of an exclusive, but an exclusive for me is like, what's that? That's equivalent to, like, you know, when you find, like, you thought that you dropped that one peanut on the floor, but it turns out it was just sitting on your lap, so it's okay to eat. That's like me. That's the equivalent of me giving you an exclusive. It's nothing, but it's like just it's that little victory, you know. But what an analogy. Or chip, if you're a chip person, that's fine, you know. But
an hors d'oeuvre that's still sitting.
An hors d'oeuvre. You have a little pig in a blanket that fell, and you're like, no. Well, then you look not down, you're like, piggies. Oh, somebody. I mean, I'd still eat that motherfucker. I wouldn't care what's it. Just wipe it off. It's all good. Anyway, but I'm recording this episode, and the album in question, the band, they're a pop punk band, and I was kind of like, okay, it's gonna be pop punk. It's gonna be happy go lucky kind of. Not so serious music. When I think of pop punk, that's what I think of. And the band is called Rival Town. They're based out of Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Badass band. And the album is called Useless Hands. So I saw the band. I saw their imagery. I saw the album. I saw the cover. I saw the title. And I went, okay, this is going to be probably like a – what could useless hands mean? It's like, oh, my hand's useless, blah, blah, whatever. Like some kind of like, oh, I can't get a job, or like meaning like, okay, let me rephrase that. Not I can't get a job, but like, oh, I hate my job. Like my hands are useless. What? I don't know what I was thinking. It was basically like, it's like kind of like pop punk. Like
I get what you're saying. The person feels useless.
Oh, this town's going to be the death of us. You know, like just that kind of a vibe. The person feels useless, so on and so forth. And I was like, okay, that's what this is going to be. So I sat down and record this freaking episode. And 30 seconds into the first song, I went, oh shit, that's not what this is. And basically in a nutshell, and we're going to get real deep here for a second, but basically the album as a whole is based – there's a couple other songs that aren't, but the guitarist – Bryce actually wrote the lyrics and the music about his mother passing away from cancer.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, this is going to get real for like a couple minutes. Then I promise we'll go back to like, you know, the bullshit. But
already talked about inspirational stuff in art psychology earlier. This is fine.
Now we're getting into some real deep shit. But that's what he wrote it about. And I'm sitting there listening to this and I'm like, this is some real shit right here. Like this is, you know, the first song on the album is called The Room Was Quiet. And that was, you know, him getting the phone call from his father basically saying that his mother's dying of cancer. And I was like, shit, okay. And then Useless Hands is basically he feels useless because there's nothing he can do. Okay. And there's two other great songs. And then he has two songs. One is called A New Normal, which is basically her passing away and the last time he saw her.
And he has to get used to life without her, which is the new normal.
Uh-huh. And it's a killer, killer song. And then they have a little ditty called Movement, which is the last song on that album. And it's basically just life moving on, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason it's an incredible album. It's definitely the best album I reviewed on the show this year, which I don't like saying things like that normally, but I can't help it. It's just
– I mean, you're not saying – I never had think that's an issue to say, because it's not like you're saying which is the worst album. You're just saying this is the one I like the most.
I mean no. But
it was mine. The one I submitted and you didn't air, I know.
I mean, you know, I didn't say anything, it's fine. But the reason why it was my favorite, and the reason why I think I have to say it's my favorite episode, there's a couple reasons. One of which is while I was recording that, Jason happened to randomly message me. And he was like, hey. And whenever he starts off a conversation like that, I know he's either about to pitch me something or he has a thought he has to get out to me, because it happens all the time.
Okay.
And he was like, so these reviews. I'm like, yeah. He's like, are you really reviewing the album? Because what I do, I play the song and then I tell you what I like about it and I move on. Okay. To a lot of people, that's not a review. They're like, what don't you like about it? I'm like, I like everything. Fuck off. Like, so for me, it's always been this like, I got it all the time. You're not a reviewer. You're not actually reviewing anything. You're just saying what you like about stuff. And that's not what people want in a review. And I'm like, fuck you. I do what I want. So.
I don't know about you, but I actually enjoy reading good reviews over bad reviews, but I think that's just more my personality, because in general, bad reviews get more clicks, they get more everything.
Uh-huh. And if I wanted to, I was accused once by a jackass asshole that I'm using other people's creations and talent to try and make myself famous off it, which is the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life, but and I said this to him, if that's what I was trying to do, all I'd do is shit on everything, because I do, my show would do better. I guarantee it, because people would, oh man, this guy trashes this album. You got to hear this. But I don't want to do that, because I like everything that I'm listening to. But then also, these are a lot of the bands that I, you know, review and have on the show. They're young bands and sometimes they're fucking kids. So like, I'm not going to be like, yeah, you know, I found that you were a little pitchy on the second verse. It's like, fuck off. But well, then also, I'm not like, where's my album? You know what I mean? So like, those reviewers that do reviews where they talk shit about everything, it's like, where's your album? Where's your credibility? Like, what do you know about this? You know?
I also think I like to listen to things that people are passionate about. So I we're going to get to it a little bit later in the episode. Cause I know we're going on almost an hour, but I still got some more. We obviously got some more to talk about, but, I have a big project coming up for later on, in 2020, which I can't go into a lot of detail on this episode, but I will just kind of tease it now and I'll reiterate it at the end of the episode. But I have a big project coming up that's hopefully coming out in the summer of 2020 for the show. And, there's some people on it who I have never even met before. I'm not composers, just, you know, other, local people who I'm trying to get onto the show that might know about a specific game, right? And I was talking to this one person and they were like, I don't know what I can do, what I can contribute to this, like, intellectually. And I told them, listen, anyone can look up research on the games that I talk about. Anyone can do research on this stuff. What matters to me is passion, because if I don't want to listen to someone just speak boringly or blandly or monotonely about a topic just because they're knowledgeable about it, I want to hear the passion behind that knowledge. I want to actually understand where they're coming from to desire to seek out what they learned about the game or whatever. And it's so even if this person isn't that well versed in, oh, who, when did this game come out? Who was the lead developer? What was the developer? Who the lead, excuse me, who was the lead designer? Who, which company developed the game? Blah, blah, blah. I'd much rather have someone who tells me a story about how when they were a kid, they stayed up till 4 a.m. one weekend trying to beat it so they could return their rental to Blockbuster before it expired. And go and tell, like, they had these fever dreams about drinking, after drinking too much Mountain Dew, or if we're going back to the 90s, let's go with Surge, and, or, yeah, Surge, or something like that. And, like, that to me speaks a lot more about a game than it does, well, you know, Hideo Kojima directed Metal Gear Solid, which that's not me saying anything about that game specifically, just using it as an example. Just someone reciting that off, that's fine, but unless there's passion behind it, it's not as fun, you know? And exactly. So when I hear a reviewer just shitting on something, don't get me wrong, I don't mind it when a reviewer does that, but when it's founded, when it feels like the reviewer is being objective with their criticism, or it's a reviewer I know to be objective with their criticism, then I don't mind it so much. But when that's just their thing, or if they do it for comedic effect, it's fine. But that shtick has been done to death. The Angry Video Game Nerd, and this is not a slight against him, I love the Angry Video Game Nerd, but once he came out, a lot of copycats came out, and mm-hmm. you can only really beat a dead horse for so long. And ABGN, to his credit, consistently finds ways to take that concept, that angry persona, and find unique ways of changing it up. Because if he just did the same angry guy every single episode, people would have lost interest by now. But he recently, in his Halloween episode that came out earlier this year, he did the entire episode in one take. Like, you would actually watch him playing the game. They had monitors up so you could see the screen and see him playing, and he would review the game, and it was all done in one take. And it was just – that's crazy for a video game reviewer. Granted, he's in character, but a video game reviewer to do an entire review in one take, memorize all those lines. It was like a 28 – it was like a 20-minute episode too. It wasn't short. That's Jeez. A lot of fucking – that's a lot of fucking dialogue.
Yeah, that is a lot of work.
And he consistently pushes the medium that he's kind of helped pioneer, and – that's why he's still viable. That's why he's still making videos. It's not just being angry for the sake of being angry. And likewise, to kind of bring it back with your content, why would you willingly put yourself in a situation to talk about something you hate? That doesn't make any sense to me. The stuff that Jason was telling you about, that's good constructive criticism as well. Like, if you're going to be a reviewer, if you're going to critique something, you need to give the good with the bad. But at the same time, I have no time for people who's like, well, you're just piggybacking off of other people's work. I'm like, well, what about Let's Players? That's the same thing.
They make a whole
that's
thing
not me shitting
it.
On Let's Players. I like Let's Players. I like Twitch streamers, but not everyone's good at it. I'm not a good Let's Player, for example. If you go to the Still Loading YouTube channel, you're going to see some old videos of me and Justin, the original co-host, one of the original co-hosts, trying to do Let's Plays, and we're not good at it. We were not good at it at all. We kind of stepped away and realized how much work we were putting into it, and I was never 100% satisfied with any of the videos we made. So I don't know where my rant went on to with that, but I guess to kind of bring it back is fuck those people, because you're doing something that you like doesn't give – I mean, they have every right to criticize it, but their criticism isn't necessarily based out of anything except they don't like what you're doing versus mm-hmm. being – so I don't like what you're doing and meh versus – I don't like what you're doing because I wish you would provide a little bit more critique, like a little bit more analysis.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That to me is constructive criticism versus, and I've even seen reviews where people will, and this is a good review where, and it's not with my show, but with like other podcasts or shows where they'll just say, I used to really love this show, or gave the show a shot, but I couldn't get into it because of A, B, and C. And that is all you need. It is saying, I don't like the show. It's saying why. And then they just move on and get on with their life because they don't feel the need to shit on it. Like, that's how it should be. You leave a review. That's constructive criticism. That's how it's supposed to work.
At least that's the idea.
The idea. I'm very thankful I haven't had to deal with too much just yet, but, you know, knock on wood, and especially since I said something in this episode.
Oh, it's coming now, buddy.
I know, right?
You're going to get, like, one from, like, you know, JT Oder. It's going to be, you suck. No. But just kind of on the point I was making there about that episode, like, when he messaged me, basically what he was saying was, that's okay. You had a good rant you went on there. I liked it. But he was saying, like, you know, is it really your review? Isn't it more like you're basically showcasing these bands? And I was like, you already have an idea, so let's just go with it. And he was – because I was thinking the same thing that episode. So I'm doing this, like, I don't want to – like, I don't – like, especially when I realized how personal this record was, I was like – I'm definitely not going to try and interpret anything myself, because what do I know about this? My mother is thankfully alive and well. So
that was another,
like,
one of the episodes of yours that I liked. I loved the episode with your mom.
Oh, I'm getting to that. But basically, we kind of both were on the same mindset of, let's kind of change the format a bit. Let's change up what we're doing. And really, the only thing that's going to change is, now instead of me deep diving into every single song and dissecting it, I'm playing the record or the EP. I'm picking my favorite songs from it, and I'm going to just give you a synopsis of the record, just like I would in real life. You know, I'm not going to play you a song and talk about it and then play it again. Like, that's not what I do with people in my living room. You know, yeah. I'm going to play the full record, and then we're going to talk about it afterwards. That's how it should be. So that was one reason, because we were on that wavelength, and it really, again, drilled home for me that, like, yo, like, you know, Jason's my guy, man. But the real kind of main reason was that one song, Movement. That was the first time on my show that I had to stop talking live because I was about to start crying because of how it made me feel. And I said it on the show. I was like, I got to stop talking because I'm about to cry. And basically, there was a particular line in the song that just, for some reason, it hit home for me. And I was just like, holy. And I'm not going to go into it because I'm probably going to start crying. But basically, it was just like, I hadn't felt that way. And it was this moment as a creator that I was kind of faced with. And I was like, do I keep going or do I press pause? And I kept going, and I basically, like, I talked about it a little bit, and I was able to keep my composure till after I was done, but it was this really interesting moment where, like, basically, it never happened before. I'd never gotten emotional on the show before, like, really gotten emotional. To the point where, like, there was tears coming down my face when I was recording, and I was like, what the hell? Like, so it was this really, it was an uncomfortable feeling. And when I went back and listened to it, I was like, shit, that's a really uncomfortable moment. But it's also a really special moment because when I dropped that episode, I left that part in. And I thought about getting rid of it, but I left it in. And the guys in the band who are just the best dudes, he says, I got emotional because I could tell how much that meant to you. And there was a couple of people that hit me up and they were like, you know, again, like, we almost got emotional because of how you felt about it and what you were saying about your experience and what it made you feel. And we can tell that this is from a real place because, like, hey guys, like, I'm literally about to start crying. And it's real. We can hear in your voice. This is real. And it was just a really special moment. But then also on that episode, I made the dumbest fucking joke I've ever made in my entire life on the podcast. So
Was it like a joke in bad taste or dumb as in the sense
bad? It was dumb as in like, I can't believe those words came out of my mouth in a dumb way. I make a lot, because I'm a fat guy, I make a lot of analogies to food when it comes to reviewing. Like I say all the time, a good album should be like a good full course meal. At the end of it, I want to be full and satisfied and, you know, the full 9 yards. Whereas an EP is kind of like, it's like a good, like, appetizer.
Yeah.
But I was talking about this one riff I really liked, and I literally said, and I quote, this is a loose quote, obviously, but I was like, damn, son, let me get that riff in my mouth and taste it. And, I said it, and then I just, like, I stopped, and I was like, what the fuck did I just say? And I kept that in by accident. Like, I said, like, what did I just say? I can't believe that just came out of my mouth, and I laugh. And then I'm like, whew. And then I jump back in. Normally,
dude,
I don't.
It's so great
something.
That you left that in, though, because that's such a human moment.
Well, it was an accident. But that was another moment that I had a few people hit me up, and they were like, that was really cool that you did that. And I was like, really? They're like, yeah, it makes you human. And it was such a dumb, lame, stupid joke. I've had people request t-shirts from that, of that saying.
Really?
Hashtag taste the riff. So now it's a thing. And it was such a, there was basically, that's why I think I have to pick that episode, because mainly because of the emotional moment, just because that was something that was really special, but then also the taste the riff thing, because it was such a, again, that was a really, that episode was a very, kind of pinnacle moment for me, I guess, to say at this point in podcasting, like, what kind of podcaster am I? That's me. You get me 150%. You get all sides of me, so to speak, on that episode. So now if people say, you know, if you have one episode you'd recommend, what would it be? That's definitely going to be in like my top three for sure forever, I think, because that was a really special episode for those reasons. But then also, and this will be really quick, I promise, guys. I'm not going to trail on for another.
No, you're fine.
But I had a few other episodes I have to shout out, because they were just, for multiple reasons, they were very special. You mentioned the episode with my mom.
Yeah.
That was really, really cool because, number one, my mom is a very entertaining storyteller. And we have been talking about doing an episode together since I started the fucking podcast. And it was over 2 years on almost episode 200. It was episode 199 when I had her on. And I thought about, like, episode 200, maybe I can have my mom on. But I had this dumb thing where I'm like, oh, milestone episodes have to be live. And I'll never do that again because I don't care anymore, because that episode not great, unfortunately, on my part. But having her on was so fun, and she was so fucking excited. Literally, I sat down, and if you guys haven't, if you're listening to my show, the Hotter Show side of this crossover, and you haven't heard the episode with my mom, go back and listen to episode 199. I promise it's worth it, because I press record and we talk a little bit back and forth, and then I just kind of let her go and just let her talk. And it was such a great episode, like definitely one of my best episodes. And it was all because of her and just the interaction we have, because we are very close and we have a very, you know, we talk about things that, you know, we don't get weird as far as like some people, they'll have like these really intimate relationships with their mothers as far as what they talk about, like, you know, sexual problems with their partners. And I'm like, that's weird. I'm not into that. And that's really weird. But I vent to my mom a lot, and like, we just were very close. So it was really fun. But then also a couple more, I got to shout out, you know, you mentioned earlier, James from No Geeks Allowed being your favorite for the year.
Fuck, that was,
yes, dude, that was so, so fun. Finally getting to record with him, because I've known him for well over a year, and it was just fun to get to finally do that.
Dude, if you want to talk about how you guys were so nice to talking about me on that episode, I just want to for a second talk about Brian and James, because legit, I have never felt so instantly comfortable recording with somebody than those two guys. And in your episode with James, you could just tell how comfortable you guys were immediately with each other. And for all those listening, I've shouted them out numerous times, but the No Geeks Allowed podcast, KNOW, that's how they spell now, No Geeks Allowed. The chemistry those two guys have together and anyone else they bring into the episode is just so good. And it's infectious. Like, you want to go onto that podcast.
You want to be friends with them.
Exactly. And every time that I'm on that show, I mentioned that I had what my favorite episode was. We didn't really talk about it, and I'm not going to go into detail with it. I still want you to finish your shout outs of yours, but my favorite episode, I have two. One was the Sega Genesis episode that just came out a couple weeks ago. I think it's literally the last episode right before this one. And it was the first episode of the year, which was the GoldenEye episode with the geeks from No Geeks Allowed and my buddy Justin. And those two, like, that episode just kicked the year off in such a good way. I loved that episode so much. And those guys are a huge part of that, if not the sole reasons for me loving that episode so much.
Anytime you can have those two guys on your show, it's a good time. Like, the chemistry you guys have together too, it's like, I can listen to that all the time. Like, that's like, if I could, I mean, my dream podcast at this point is the four of us. Just like, having one microphone in between us, getting drunk and just going off for an hour.
Well, I'll be the one sober one, but it'll be fun.
Someone needs to be the moderator.
Oh, so yeah, okay, that'll work.
You'll be the moderator, and you'll be the one pressing record and stuff.
I think I've said before, I am not a big fan. I have nothing against drinking. I just hate the sensation of being drunk.
Yeah.
So whenever people are like, oh, we're going to get drunk, I'm like, oh, you don't want to see me drunk, because I don't get it. I'm not like a happy or angry or whatever drunk. I'm drunk. I'm a paranoid one. I go, the last time, and not like paranoid in the sense of people are out to get me, but the acute awareness that everyone knows I'm drunk and I'm embarrassed for it. And even though probably no one knows I'm drunk because I'm sitting down and not doing anything. I was at a wedding with my wife and I had a little bit too much to drink. And for 20 minutes, I just kept going like, nudging her, going, honey, I'm drunk. Oh no. Oh, yep, there it is. Oh, yeah. And it was like that for 20 minutes straight.
So it's like, I know. I know.
She's like, just shut the fuck up. We're at a wedding. Stop this. Thank God it was at the reception. It wasn't like I was
I freaking hope not.
I know, right?
Babe, I'm lit.
Hey, on this wedding's lit as fuck.
and if no one has any words to say of why this time of marriage, I have something to say. Wedding is fucking lit.
And I'm drunk as shit.
Carry on, Your Honor.
Oh, she would divorce me in a second.
Jeez.
I just wanted to give those guys a shout out real quick because legit, like they're so fucking good and they're so funny. But your other episodes besides the one with James.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah, that one obviously was a really fun one. I did an episode with a man by the name of Jan Murphy, who is the co-founder and president of Chinlock Wrestling, a great wrestling promotion here out of Ontario here. And he is he spent a lot of his life working at a newspaper doing interviews and things like that and a ton of other stuff. That's just a brief synopsis of it. But so he's a pro. Like, he interviews big time people. He's a fucking pro. So I admittedly am a huge fan of his and I was really, really nervous. And a friend of mine who I'm going to mention in a minute, for another episode I had him on for, he is really good friends with them. So he was like, and also Jason obviously works with him a lot and knows him. And so they both kind of put in a good word for me. So it kind of helped. like I knew, okay, I know Jan knows that I'm at least an okay guy because, you know, he's got two people he trusts saying, yeah, like TJ's a good guy. So I was like, okay. But I was so nervous. It was it ended up being a great episode because, again, he's a pro. He just told these killer stories, and it was just fantastic. Definitely one of the best interviews I've ever done just because it was all him, though. Like, it was nothing to do with me. I just basically, like, almost, like, pressed play on the stories, essentially. Mm-hmm. So that was one that was killer, and I had him on again, and that was kind of more of an interview per se. But that was great. So big shout-out to Jan and Chinlock Wrestling. The friend I mentioned a minute ago, his name is Sam Hudson, and he is a new pro wrestler, and I've been friends with him since I started the podcast, so I really wanted to have him on for years, and I finally got him on, so that was really fun, finally getting to do that with him, but also that was the first time I did a recording in an actual studio, like a legit studio.
Oh, damn.
And it was like we were in separate rooms type studio. So it was kind of uncomfortable for me in a way because I wasn't used to it, but also it was like gives me something to strive for. So that was, you know, one for sure. That was a big one. And then I got two more. I had an episode that was – it was really interesting. It was called, and I quote, Stop Bullying. And it was during like the anti-bullying movement week or whatever mm-hmm. the hell thing is. And it was kind of it was a really somewhat uncomfortable episode because I didn't mean for it to be a full episode. I meant it to be an intro. And then I was going to talk about something else.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. And I ended up literally going on a rant. And I dove into my experiences with bullies and the overall effect it had on me. But then also I talked about, like, you know, I dropped stats and stuff like that. And just – obviously I don't know off the top of my head now because I didn't do my research right for this. But it was like – I was like 20 minutes in and I was like, I have a lot to say about this. So I ended up doing a full episode of it. And yeah. When it was all said and done, I was like, well, I guess that's an episode. I got something to say. And I ended up getting quite a few new regulars out of that episode. They saw the title and they were like, let's hear this guy's story. And, you know, I had people that were like, from that, they're like, you're a very good storyteller and you're, you know, it's real and we can hear in your voice that it's real and it's kind of uncomfortable for you to talk about. And it was just a really, again, a really pivotal moment for me as a podcaster where I can be somewhat engaging and at least somewhat entertaining in a way, just ranting about something I'm passionate about.
It seems like this year was the year that you just kind of opened up more to your audience.
Yes.
Between the episode, between your mom being on the show and between the episode with the band, which I'm sorry, the name already escapes me, but
Rival Town.
And then between that, actually, it's funny. Have I ever told you my personal bullying story?
I don't believe so.
So I, being like complete honesty, I didn't really have any major bullying issues. There's a couple moments where I was never the bully, but I also wasn't the one helping stop it. And I still kind of regret to this day. Granted, I was in elementary school, not saying that necessarily forgives it, but it's still, I won't go into detail because I'm still like, that's a little too shy for me. But, the actual times where I actually had a bully are very few and far between. So I'm very lucky. Like, I'm not trying to make light of it. I just, mm-hmm. I'm lucky, but the way I dealt with it was super strange in a sense because – so I won't give the kid's name, but I'll just say his first name. So his name was Andy, and he was I was in like 8th or 9th grade, and he was just very abrasive to me all the time. He was not physically abusive. I'll say that. He wasn't a physical bully. He wouldn't beat you up, but he was very verbally abusive. He would make fun of me a lot and put me in uncomfortable situations and stuff like that. And I remember I was getting to the point, my mom even said that she remembers me coming home from school and I was beyond upset with it. I couldn't handle it anymore. She was getting ready to go to the school, the principal or something like that. And so I remember that my mom said, well, you know, bullies generally bully people because they don't like who they are. So they take it out on others. And I go, really? Is that, that's what a bully does? And she goes, yeah. And you know, you always hear that shit from your parents and you never think it's going to like, you know, that's, but so what I did was I don't know if it was the next day or shortly after, but he was bullying me again. And out of the blue, I just say to him, you don't like yourself very much, do you? And he just kind of stopped dead in his tracks. And he goes, what? I'm like, yeah, my mom said that if you're like people who bully people, it's because they don't like themselves. And so you don't like yourself very much, do you? And he looked at me, he went straight face. And I was like, he goes, nah, I don't. And I went, well, it's okay, man, but you don't have to take it out on me. Like, we can just talk. Or it was something to that effect. And then we were friends after that.
Well, shit, there you go.
It was the weirdest thing. Like that type of shit should never work. That's shit you see out of like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, man, I wish that worked on my. I mean, I really didn't have that bad of experiences either. Really, you know. But
compared to other kids in my school, like there's some kids I remember just seeing like getting bullied mercilessly. And this is also back when, like it. They would just call them gay all the time, whether they were actually gay or not. It was just, you know, the go-to insult. It was just, it was all kinds of fucked up.
Mm-hmm. It was a really fucked up. And
to be clear, the way I said that, whether they're gay or not, that shouldn't make a difference. You just don't call somebody that. Like, that's just, if they're gay, so what? But, like, you should never use that as a derogatory thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. But, you know, it's funny that worked for you because I said in the episode, and I do truly believe this, that there's only one way to deal with a bully. And it's not by befriending him.
What are you talking about? It worked.
Yeah. Well, that's what's funny, is it worked. And hey, I ended up becoming friends with one of my bullies too. But yeah, sometimes.
No, I'm fully aware it doesn't work that way.
Sometimes you gotta just knock a motherfucker out. But anyway, we're not gonna get into that right now. But the final episode, I want to just give a quick shout out to, and then I'm gonna pass the reins over to Josh because I want to hear about his favorite episodes of this year more.
Oh, I already talked about it, but go on.
Well, more in a little more depth, maybe some of them, but because I have something I want to actually ask you. But
okay,
I had an episode where I got to interview for the first time in my life a pro wrestler. And it wasn't just one pro wrestler, it was two pro wrestlers. And that was my boys, Kayan and Cable, Fear the Beard. And that was really cool because I didn't know those guys. I approached them at a local show and they were cool as fuck. And basically we did an episode and it was great. Really, really good. I was really proud of it. And then my freaking computer deleted it.
Oh, jeez.
And it, like, corrupted the file or whatever. So I couldn't use it. It was gone. And right then and there, I was like, that's it. Never gonna, like, it's over. Like, my relationship with these guys is gonna be dead. Like, they're gonna be like, this guy's so unprofessional, blah, blah, blah. But because they're just fucking gems, they did it again. And they were like, let's have fun with it because, you know, it's pro wrestling. So, of course, they were like, oh, you just wanted to have us on again. And they were kind of ragging on me during it as a, you know, it's pro wrestling, folks. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
They're bad guys. Wink, wink. So, of course, they're going to, you know, be shitheads to me because they're bad guys. And there was so many just great moments in it. I asked the one that was just great is the one guy, KN. He's kind of like, he's a big time, like bad guy, like very insulting. That's kind of him as a, and, I asked him a question where I asked him what something meant. And his response was, and I quote, "You speak English, right?" And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, there you go. And that was it. So then, as an interviewer, I'm like, yeah, okay, that was kind of a dumb question, I guess. Now, mind you, folks, that was not real. That was the question, and his response was real. I didn't know he was going to do it, but that was me teeing him up for it. I knew that was going to be his response. And afterwards, we were like virtually high-fiving because of how great some of the moments were that we didn't even plan. They just happened. But so that was a lot of fun. And getting to interview wrestlers is cool because I'm such a big wrestling fan. And yeah, so that was basically my year, my quick year review of some of my favorite episodes. But I wanted to ask you, you talked obviously – you know, having the composers on and then you kind of starting off your year the way you did. When you did the episode, it was with why am I blanking so damn hard right now. You did the James, the 007 episode fairly recently. What game was it?
There was a,
it was the remake or not the remake.
Are you talking about GoldenEye Rogue Agent?
No, From Russia with Love. Is that it?
Yes, the one with Brian.
Yes, that's it. I love
Brian
that
from No
episode.
Geeks Allowed.
Yes, because I've never seen the movie. I never played the game, but hearing you two talk about it made me not only want to go watch the movie, but it made me want to go play the game.
Well, thank you, dude. That movie legit is so If you couldn't tell by that episode, I'm a giant James Bond fan. Just, I'm beyond excited for the new one coming out next year, early next year. So that was one of the most fun ones because I've never met anyone else other than Brian who knows as much. And I'm not saying, I don't mean this in like a shitty way that it's going to come off that way, but I've never met anyone besides Brian, like in person, who knows much about useless James Bond trivia as I do. And it's not like it's good for anything, but it's just, it's fun to be able to kind of banter with someone like that who's into something that you are the exact same amount, who knows more in some aspects and less in other aspects, and just in general, like, he honestly probably knows more than I do about Bond, but it's just fun to be able to talk with someone like that.
Oh yeah, and like, you guys both knew your shit about it. I'm sitting there just like, damn, like, you're talking about that. That's what I always loved about you, is like, you're talking about like this, like, super technical aspects of things, and I'm just like, this button makes the gun fire. And I'm just like listening to it, and I'm like, shit, okay, like, this, it made me want to play the game. That was a fun one.
No, my favorite episodes, like I said before, were the Sega Genesis and the GoldenEye episodes. GoldenEye being the first episode of the year, and Sega Genesis, with the exception of this one, kind of being like the last traditional episode of Still Loading. And I guess the only thing I really want to go into detail on any of them with, because is the Sega Genesis one. And I'm really happy with that one because, I feel like I focus a lot on Nintendo stuff on my show, and it's not because I like Nintendo more than Sega or this and that. I mean, I feel like now I do, but it's never come from a place of like, well, Sega's worse than Nintendo. It's nothing like that. It's because the Sega Nintendo rivalry, especially online, is still pretty heavy. So I especially don't want to anger any of the fans of Sega, but like, I wanted to do that Sega Genesis episode, one, because it was the 30th anniversary of its release in North America, or just that year in general. 30, because I think it came out in 88 in Japan and 89 in North America. So that year was this year is the 30th anniversary of the release of that. But that the Sega Genesis is just, I focused so much on other consoles, and I really wanted to branch out, and I remembered, this is the 30th anniversary. This would be a perfect way to kind of close out the year on something that I don't get to talk about too much, mainly because there's not a lot of people that I know, like, within my close area that talk a lot about Sega games. A lot of my friends are Nintendo fans, and that's fine, but it kind of limits me to just one side of the classic gaming spectrum, one of the two large sides. I mean, there's a lot of other facets that I would love to dive into, but either don't have the knowledge or the time to obtain the knowledge to cover. But yeah, I think those are my two favorite ones, hands down. So yeah, what I wanted to move on next to, because we've been going for this has been awesome so far, man. Like, this is a nice good, meaty episode.
It's very thick with two C's, and it's probably moist as well. And what's interesting too is the fact that I have no idea how long we've actually been recording for, and I kind of like that. It's kind of interesting because you're going behind the scenes, but Josh is actually the one recording this, so it's been very interesting for me.
And it's funny. So one of the things that I find with like new guests who've never been on a podcast before, I'm not even just talking about new guests to the show, just new guests in general to podcasting. They're always like, how can we just talk for 40, and I always tell them I always shoot for at least 40 minutes. I know a lot of my episodes don't always get there, but I try
to. This one's going to be like triple that, you know?
Yeah. I always try to shoot for at least 40 minutes, right? And they're always surprised with, wait, how did you, 40 minutes? Are we going to be able to go for 40 minutes straight? And I go, you'd be surprised how much you're able to do. Oh, I totally just realized my last episode was not Sega Genesis. It was Koopa Claws. Anyway, the Mario Christmas special. That was a non sequitur. I was just thinking about it while I was talking. I'm like, wait, was Sega Genesis really my last episode before this? It wasn't. It was two episodes ago. But anyway, I've been recording some other episodes, and I had a couple people on who have never been on before. And they were like, I don't know how we're going to talk about this for 40 minutes. And then we'd finish recording, and I go, that was an hour and a half. And they went, holy shit, really? Or it was an hour and 10 minutes. And they went, that went by so fast. I'm like, it does. You don't really think about it, especially when you're not the one keeping track of the time.
Well, yeah. And it's like, I've had the same thing too. And they'll be like, oh, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can go for that long. But then I've also had times where, you know, I'm 5 minutes into the interview and I'm like, shit, we're done.
That's so funny.
Where I'm like, oh, okay, one word answers. All right, we're done here. So then I gotta, there's only been one time where I've just gone, okay, thanks, man. And that was it. And I just didn't upload the episode. But, that was actually this year too, where I interviewed someone who remained nameless because, good person. They wanted to be on the show. They contacted me, and then it was a 5-minute interview, and they did not want to be there. And,
that's so weird.
It was literally 5 minutes, and I went, I ended the show like I normally would. And afterwards he was like, dude, that was 5 minutes. And I went, you don't want to be here. You don't want to do this. Why are we doing this? He was like, well, you're supposed to pull things out of me. That's what you do. And I said, yeah, for people who want to be here, I'm not trying.
If you're asking a question and you get a one word response there, there's a difference between pulling things out of people and pulling teeth.
Yeah. The analogy I always use is it's like drawing blood from a stone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, and that was, it wasn't even one word answers. It was like, ask me a question right now. I'll give you his response.
What is your earliest childhood memory?
That was it. I literally I asked him about an upcoming record that was coming out that didn't actually end up coming out. And, his response was, So, record's coming out. Yeah, I worked really hard on it. And I was like, okay. That was basically how that was right near the end. And then I asked him what his favorite song was, and he said, yeah, you know. And then I tried to ask him about influences, and he was like, it's like, what the fuck is happening? Is this my life right now? So, yeah, it was that was a really interesting experience this year. Was the only time I've ever – an interview and just not done anything. You have anything like that happen this year for you? That was kind of in a fun way, almost negative.
Yes and no. Being more no than yes. I would say the closest thing is that some of the interviews I did was when I would try to make them comfortable with I would tell them a personal anecdote for me to try to relate to them. they kind of were like, why are, they didn't say it, but in, I read the tone in their voice. They were kind of like, why are you telling me this? This is, you know, and it was never rude or anything like that. And it didn't ruin the interview, but it was just a vibe that I got while recording it. But, what I was going to say, there's something to be said about going through that though. There, like, comics always talk about you need to bomb in order to understand how to grow type of thing. And that was a growing moment for you. You experienced, I mean, granted, it's a lot nicer in podcasts because you generally don't have an audience. So when something bombs, you just don't have to release it. It's not like when you're a comedian on stage, when you bomb, you fucking feel it. it's
and,
all in there.
Yeah. And I mean, if it was live, that would have been a different story because I would have just looked at the guy and I would have been like, why don't you want to be here, man? And it would have been super fucking awkward.
Oh, but that would have been amazing.
That's what makes good. Him out. I would have just said to him, do you just not want to fucking – you contacted me, motherfucker, and you're giving me this bullshit? Like, seriously?
Yeah.
You know, I'm okay with having to kind of dangle the carrot and go, come on, give me a sentence, come on, but – dude, I'm not going to open your mouth for you and speak for you. Holy shit. Like, my dad didn't say that to him. Obviously, I was a little more respectful than that, but that's how bad it was. And I was like, okay. So it was a growing moment. But I do the same thing that you do well, like kind of tell someone something like, oh, here's how I'm relatable. And then it's kind of like, okay. And I'm like, shit, all right, okay. But it's always fun when that happens, for sure.
So to kind of like – because we are running long on time, yes. And it is getting late.
I was just about to do what you're doing.
What I wanted to move on to – I did actually have a list of the games I beat in 2019. I might just read them off real quick without going into detail. I was thinking, like, since it's a gaming podcast I go into, but we've been going –
touch
like,
on it.
Yeah, I just want to touch on it, and then I want to talk about what our upcoming plans are. If you have any that you can kind of talk about for – next year, if you have any upcoming
real
plans.
Quick, don't worry.
So the games I beat in 2019 were the original Red Dead Redemption. Now, these are not games, to be clear, these are not games that came out in 2019. I just happened to beat them for the first time in 2019. So Red Dead Redemption, Super Mario Galaxy 2, Super Mario RPG, Mario's Missing, Luigi's Mansion, Shovel Knight, Okami, Super Mario Land 1 and 2, Super Mario Maker 2 and Outer Wilds, which that is my personal game of the year. Outer Wilds did come out in 2019. And the reason I just kind of wanted to list them is because last year for my year in review, I had a video game diary where I actually wrote down after every time I beat a game, I would write a full journal entry about the emotions and what my emotions in the moment, as well as my, positives and negatives from the game. And whatnot. And this year I didn't do that because it was fun, but it was a lot of work. And after I would beat a game, sometimes it'd be, like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I don't really feel like writing at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then when you wake up the next morning, either you're most likely not going to remember everything that you experienced the night before. And it was just, it was fine, but there was sometimes I was writing posts, like I was writing journal entries a couple days after beating it, or sometimes even weeks, which was not my favorite. But, so yeah, that was my list of 2019 games that I beat. So yeah, did you have a list? I don't know. I remember I talked to you about, but I don't know if you, I know you had a crazy busy year, so I don't even know if you had a chance to play much this year.
I did, definitely more than last year. My list is pretty damn short, though. It's not even games I beat, it's just games I played. Some of them I beat, but I played – I actually – really, really quick. I actually moved this year for the people listening. So my whole life, basically, I've had really crappy internet, so I couldn't really game online. So now that I've moved, I have internet that actually works for online gaming quite well. So this year, I played a crap ton of Battlefront 2, Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Good stuff.
And that was so fun. I played a crap ton of WWE 2K19, which is probably the only game that came out technically this – wait. Yeah, no, it didn't come out this year. What am I saying? It was last year. But yeah, a lot of 2K19, WWE 2K19, created characters are my jam. Peanut butter and jam, that is. I played a whole crap ton of Pokemon Crystal and Ruby because I got emulators on my phone. So
good stuff. Good
on
stuff.
The go, a lot of that. A lot of Fire Emblem, the Sacred Stones, because again, I got an emulator on my phone for it. That was probably the game I played the most this year. So many hours into it, I beat it. I beat with every single character. I got all the support conversations. Like, I went hard on that.
Damn.
I also played Fire Emblem the Blazing Blade, which is the one before it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played quite a bit of The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, which I have to finish because I basically had to stop playing it because I fucking moved. So I had to kind of get out of it because I was like obsessed with it. So I had to stop. And then I've actually
what a lot of people are. It seems like you get obsessed with that game real easy.
It sucks you in. And I haven't watched the Netflix series yet, but I'm really excited about it. However, ending off the year, it's really fun because again, emulator, I ended up going and getting Paper Mario for my emulator. And
like the N64 one, I'm assuming?
Yes. And that's like one of my favorite N64 games. I forgot how much I loved it. I had a copy for my N64, which I still have and still actually works, but I just I lost track of it. And you can go out and get them for like pretty reasonable price, but I can't find any around me right now. So I was like, you know what? I want to play Paper Mario. I got the emulator. Man, so much freaking fun. I love Paper Mario, that original one. So good.
That's on my list to hopefully play next year at some point. But I have I guess I'll talk about it now. Or did you finish your list, I should say?
Yes, sir. I am all done.
The stuff I have going on for next year. So for those who've listened to the show for a while, they know I've done Mario Month every July. And the only reason I even did it in July was because when I was doing my 40 for 40 series, it just happened that's when the Mario games were going to hit in the timeline of doing the 40 for 40 series. And so I figured, well, let me just turn it into a full month. I'll do the first three Mario games or the first three. Technically, if you want to go the first Mario game that actually has the name Mario in it, it's just Mario Bros. But the first three Super Mario Bros. Games, and I did Super Mario World. And so then I did that again the next year, just last year, I think, was my second year of doing it. And I went from all those games, and I did all the edutainment and infotainment type of video games. So that's where Mario's Missing and Mario's Time Machine and Mario's Fun with Numbers and all these like weird, obscure educational titles that I just thought were like fascinating. So I wanted to do episodes on them. But I'm moving Mario Month up to March because to basically coincide with when Nintendo celebrates Mario Month, which is Mario Day is March 10th. Because if you look at the abbreviations MAR for March, MAR, and then 10 looks like an IO for Mario.
My mind with that shit.
It's kind of a shitty portmanteau, but I'll celebrate Mario any day I can. So I am going to move Mario Month up from July to March to kind of coincide with that. And in its place, I can't give out details about what I'm going to be doing, but TJ, you know what it is, so hush, 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 mum's the word. I have a big project. I have a big project in store for the summer where I normally release episodes every other week, but for the summer I'm going to try to release episodes weekly, and I've already started preparations for it. And I've already recorded some of the episodes like this early in advance. I already have three recorded for that.
That's crazy to me, by the way, that you're recording that far in advance. It's just – it's a good idea. Trust me. I'm like – I wish I could do that. I'm envious of you. That's really cool that you're doing that. And guys, it's going to be lit.
I am so excited for this project. I know it might not sound it because it is like 11:30 where we're at right now, so we're a little tired. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really hoping it turns out well because I'm really excited for this project. So Mario Month is being moved up to March, so I'm still going to go weekly for Mario Month like I usually do. Casey is going to join me as always for that. Don't really know what games we're going to choose just yet. I have a couple ideas, but we're going to see what we go with. I'm still like toying with the idea of doing the handheld ones, or maybe move on to some of the 3D Marios. We'll see what happens. Yeah, so Mario Month is up to March, and there's a big project coming for the summer this year. So summer 2020, keep an eye, well, I guess not an eye out. Keep that podcast feed tune dialed in.
Keep an eye on the podcast feed, and then yeah, keep right. your ear on the headphones to listen yeah. to the loading podcast.
yeah, so that is just a little tidbit. I might announce what if I get enough of my project done, I'm hoping to announce what the full project will be by the end of Mario Month, but so by the end of March. So actually, you know what? I'm gonna set that as a goal for myself. I'm putting it onto the internet. I will announce what the summer project is at the end of March. Once by that time, I should have a lot more of it all together for it. So, but yeah, so that's what I got going on so far in 2020. TJ, what do you have planned so far?
Fuck all.
You said it was going to be short. Yeah. You were not wrong.
Here's the thing. And real quick, guys, I'm going to hold Josh to that, by the way. Having everything done by March, or not everything done by March, but being ready enough to announce it. When I say fuck all, here's what I mean. My show started having any remote, quote unquote, success more so than what I was having. By quite a bit, when I stopped obsessing so much over it, meaning I just kind of let it ride. I have plans as far as there's guests that I want to have on the show. One goal I have this upcoming year is I want to reach out to someone who is like will make me super nervous to interview. Whether or not it's,
I think I know who you're talking about, but well,
quote unquote famous or someone who has a really big following. I want to have someone on the show who I think is going to be a really awkward interview and try and make it good. I just
always up for a challenge.
Yes, I want to challenge myself this year, and I want to continue to grow because. What I found this year is it was a big growth year for me. And, you know, I started off this year, near the end of last year, my show hit 10,000 total plays or downloads in the span of like the 2.5 or so years. And I was pretty happy with that. And then this year, as I'm ending off the year, I've done well over 10,000 downloads this year.
Dude, so, that's amazing.
So that being said, I'm like, shit, okay. We got, like, we're rocking and rolling. And I say, what did I do differently this year? I'm just being me, and I'm just talking about what I want to talk about and having people on that I want to talk to. And there's bands I'm going to talk about. You know, my first episode of the year that's going to be like an actual full episode is going to be a great music showcase of an awesome band called Her Majesty the King. I'm very excited about that. They're good dudes. And, you know, I'm hoping to have some reoccurring guests on. I'm hoping to have people on that I've wanted to get on. My episode 300 should be in this year unless something major happens for some reason. And I already know who it's going to be. I haven't told them yet, but it's going to be an interview. And it's going to be an interview that has been a long fucking time coming. And, it's going to be one of two people. One of which, if it happens, it'll be without a doubt the biggest episode in the history of my show, hands down. And could open some doors for me. Or it's going to be someone that, like I said, I have been wanting to get on the show for a long time and who is a very big part of the show. And it would be very fun to make that the big episode 300. And also I'm hoping to, you know, maybe get some new peeps on the network. Who knows? We'll see what happens with that. But, I'm just going to keeping on, man, and just kind of keep doing my thing. And last year I had all these plans heading into the new year and I accomplished most of them, but a lot of them I wasn't able to make happen. So I'm just kind of this year heading into 2020 going, you know what? It's going to be a great year. I can feel it in my bones that this year is going to be great for a lot of reasons, for a lot of people. I feel like it's going to be a kick-ass year for you, and I feel like your show is going to continue to grow. I feel like we're going to have this conversation in a year, and you're going to be like, you know, yeah, back before I was doing 1 million downloads a week, you
There's
know.
No way I'm going to be doing that, but the, but it, I'm enjoying what it were. I'm enjoying the ride so far. This has been a ton of fun.
Sure, man. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. My plans for 2020 is to have fun.
Dude, same. Like the project that I'm talking about, it is a lot of work, but it's a project that I
can't believe you're doing it.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to it. It's like it's something I want to challenge myself to do, and that's why I'm really excited for it. But I guess to kind of wrap this all up, it's believe it or not, sir, we've been going for almost 2 hours now since this recording. So this has been a phenomenal episode. So CJ, seriously, thank you for coming on for this big year in review for both of our shows for this crossover.
Yes, and thank you also for coming on my show, technically, and because if you guys are hearing this on my feed, it's the hotter show hosted technically kind of by Josh and me, I guess. And if you're hearing this on Still Loading's feed, it's Still Loading hosted by Josh and kind of co-hosted by me, I guess. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun, man. It's always a fucking blast talking to you. I had a ball, and I'm glad we were able to make this happen. And you know, I still think it's hilarious that a gaming podcast didn't really talk too much about the actual gaming. That's but it was
fun. There's going to be a lot of episodes this summer to talk about gaming. Trust me.
Absolutely. So why not talk about the philosophical stuff and what's the bullshit we were talking about earlier?
Right. So I'd love to also to get some feedback. All you listeners out there, if you like this episode, please let us know. It was I've never really done kind of like a year in review that was kind of this deep of a retrospective where we really kind of dove into the weeds about ourselves and about like the growth of the show. So if it's a little too like I said before, if we're blowing ourselves too much or something like that, just give us some feedback and let us know. Then we'll tweak it for next year and keep on growing.
Yeah, we'll just make this an annual thing once a year. We'll just get together and talk and blow ourselves and then we'll move.
No. what we should do next year. Let's get the geeks on.
Oh man. Well, right? I said that on Josh's episode, on Jada's episode, the band Podbeard Network Roundtable, bro.
Dude, that would be great.
Make it happen. That's a goal for next year.
But yeah, so that is it for Still Loading in 2019.
And that's it for the Hotter Show in 2019.
So thank you all once again for listening. And as usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Still Loading Pod on all of them. You can also follow the Podbeard Network at Podbeard Network, right? That's what the handle is.
Yes, sir.
On pretty much all the social media platforms, on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook. You can also, if you want to support the show, you want to continue to help it grow, check out my Patreon, patreon.com/stillloadingpod. And TJ, what are your plugs?
I have, of course, all the social media under The Hotter Show. That's HODDER, The Hotter Show. I say all, but I really only just use Facebook and Instagram. I also have a Patreon if you would like to support it. But support Josh is first because he puts a lot more work into his show and he's a lot better. I'm
just more content.
It's quality over quantity. Come on, let's be serious.
There we go, blowing each other again.
Yeah, that's it. Patreon.com/The Hotter Show. You can catch my show, generally speaking, every Thursday. Wherever you get your podcasts, I'm proud to say I'm one of the most accessible podcasts on the internet. If you use an app and I'm not on it, let me know because there's probably a reason, or I just missed it. So let me know. I'm on everything, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, YouTube, DownTube, PlusTube, RedTube, the whole nine yards. Oh, you will find me on there, okay? The Hotter Show is extremely accessible. I've gotten to the point now where if you hit me up and say I want to listen to your show but can't find it, I'll send you the fucking episode, okay? Like, I'll send you an MP3, bro. You'll listen.
Oh, my goodness. But all right. So that should wrap up the 2019 review for The Hotter Show and for – actually, I should say for Still Loading and for The Hotter Show. And so, yeah, thank you all once again for listening, and I will see you all next time. Or, sorry, we – we'll see you all next time.
Bye, everybody.